Amen. Good to see all of you today. We're not going to hold you a long time. Just want to share a little bit of the message that we have today and that we want to share with you. And then choir, I know we're going to sing after the sermon. So we'll just sing after the sermon. Amen. All right. So we'll just do that. Amen. But welcome. If you haven't spoken to the person next to you and if they haven't spoken to you, just look at them and say, what's wrong with you? Been here all this time and you ain't said a word. What's wrong with you? But we're very happy, very thankful. I've got family members here today. And I saw my cousin Larry and his wife Pat and their family and saw my brother-in-laws and my cousins, and all of them are here. Amen. We're thankful for you all coming and sharing this time and worship. My sister's here. I thank God for her. Praise the Lord for each one of you. Good to see all the ministers that are here. We have any ministers? I want to recognize you before we get into the message. I know Reverend Anderson is over here. Amen. Good to see you, sir. Amen. But thank you for coming to worship with us here at Crossroad today. Just want to invite your attention to a passage of Scripture, and as we think about homecoming and as we think about what we can do to make a difference in the lives of people, I want to call your attention to Luke chapter 19, verses 2 through 6 is where we will find our Scripture text. And it reads, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." From those verses, we want to share with you the message simply titled, Giving Up to Move Up. Giving up to move up. How many of you want to move up? Amen. Then you know the rest of it, amen? You got to give up. You may be seated. Father, we thank you for this awesome time. We thank you, Lord, that we're here to magnify you. We've felt your presence already, the movement of your Spirit. And I pray that you would now move through this word and that you would help us to comprehend and to take to heart your truth. And Lord, we're praying that you would use us in a way that after we leave this place, people will look upon us and to know that we have been with God. We just thank you so much for being gracious to us. Another homecoming. It didn't have to be this way. Some started out last year. Plan to be here, but the plans got changed. But God, we're here, and we're here to magnify you. Have thine own way. Have thine own way. In Jesus' name, amen. I am concerned that we are more concerned about what we have rather than our spirit of giving. And when I speak about the spirit of giving, we're not simply talking about monetary gifts. We're talking about giving our talents, our abilities, our resources to share with those that are in need. In a few minutes, I'm going to introduce you to a man that had it all, and yet he did not have what he really needed. So I want to ask you a question today. Do you have a lot, but are you missing something on the inside? You will never be content. You will never be in a place where you feel that life is at peace with you and you at peace with life, because you have not maintained or you have not grabbed hold of that one thing that you need. Now, I'm one that believe in what we call improvement. Everybody say improvement. You don't want to do the same thing you did yesterday and the day before. You want to improve. You want to move up. You want to be able to have and to do the things that God would have you to do. We're living in a day of conflict, though. There are a lot of people who believe in the lie of getting. The lie of getting. The lie of getting. The lie of getting says that, well, if you just had a little bit more, you'll be happy. That's not improvement. That's gaining stuff. Are y'all in the house? This lie of getting would have many to believe that one more thing will make your life complete. That's why in this day and age, you got basements full of junk. And some of the stuff that was in your basement, you moved it out to a storage bin. Paying rent on stuff that you will never use again because you got too much. Hunt somebody, tell them you got too much. The lie of getting tells us that the rich and famous are happy because they're rich and famous. Yes, the lie of getting, it denies the truth. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the truth tells us that life does not consist in the abundance of things. The truth tells us that giving is the pathway really to joy. So I want to talk about a little bit as we share in this message about moving up. You've got to sacrifice. You've got to sacrifice, and there is a gospel of sacrifice. When you have and your cup runs over, then you can bless someone else by your overflow. That's what I call a blessing. When you got a lot of joy that you can give, and you'll find that other people share in that joy. There's the good news of giving. I'm one that believes that Jesus didn't just come to rescue you. I believe that he came to fill you so that you could overflow with the blessing and the abundance of God. You'll have God in your words. You'll have him in your heart. You'll have him in the gifts that you share with others as you go about your life. You see, we've got a lot of churches that sometimes, you know, we look at the numbers, but we need to look at the number that's being filled. We need to see the people that are being filled on the inside with God's goodness. Amen. I don't know about you, but early this morning I woke up and I was able to realize God's goodness. And James Wham, I'm going to pick you out because you sing this song called the Bird Song. Well, I want to tell you that early this morning I got up and I decided that I'd go outside. And as I went outside, I heard a choir singing. It was not this choir. They did a wonderful job, but I heard the choir of the birds in the trees as they were singing now. Now, the thing that bothered me, that concerned me, is the fact that they didn't have a roof over their head last night. But I had one. They didn't have an air-conditioned home to live in, but I had one. And when I heard the birds sing, I said, you know what? I can't let them sing by themselves. I can't hit their note, but I can tell the Lord, thank you for one more day. Thank you for being so good to me. Yeah. I had to pull up that bird song. I woke up early this morning. My heart was beating right on time. I said, Lord, I truly thank you for opening up these eyes of mine. As I went over to my window and I was looking through the shade, Once again, I had to tell him, thank you, Lord, for letting me see another day. Everybody ought to pray. Be thankful and
praise.
Yeah, everybody ought to praise his name. Yeah, yeah. Because the robin. Oh, y'all sit down now. Y'all sit. I know you will. Yes! Yes! Come on, somebody. Meanwhile, back to my sermon. That was just an interruption from our sponsor, amen? But I want you to look at something. When you think about the gospel of sacrifice, it begins with your worship. It really centers around your ability to look outside yourself and to recognize that everything you had, God had to give it to you. He knew what you were going to need. Some of you all are saying, I don't have a whole lot. If you got health and strength, believe you me, you got a whole lot. Yes, as I look at this and I see people falling into the trap of what we call covetousness. Here it was, this young Roman official, he had been hired by the Roman government to collect taxes. Many of his own people felt like he was a traitor because he would come and collect the taxes for the Romans, and the Jewish people felt like they were free. They didn't have to pay taxes. How are you going to pay taxes in your own home? Yeah, you bought it and now you're still paying on it. Now, that's another story for another time, but he worked for the Office of Tax Collecting, OTC. I don't want you to confuse it with the IRS, all right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But he was a Roman official, and the Bible tells us that he was very rich. But he also had tax collectors under him. He was a chief official, meaning he had hired some others to work for him. And so he felt like that it was necessary for him to look into this fact of how is it that every time I hire a tax collector, they up and quit. He thought to himself, well, they're making plenty of money. And then he heard about this man called Jesus. And he happened to wear as one of his taglines, friend of sinners, And publicans. Jesus would sit and eat with them when no one else would give him the time of day. So I don't know whether that was what drove him, but he said, I got to check this fella out. Just hired a new recruit and now he's gone because of this man Jesus. So he said, now I got to find him and I got to know. And so on the way to Jericho, he heard that Jesus was passing that way. And he said, now, I know he's coming this way, and I want to get into position so when he passes by, I can see him. Oh, I'm going to get somebody in trouble today because all you want is just a look, but when you look at Jesus, you're going to get more than a look. And so he goes up and he tries to see Jesus. Some of y'all ain't got to worry about it because you were almost born tall. And he tries to see Jesus, but he is short of stature. Reminds me of me. But I don't worry about it. I don't have an attitude because nobody picked me for the basketball team. I don't even worry about it no more, Cheryl. I got over it. Amen. My sisters, you know, my sister and I, we know that the Lord bless because all us Coleman short. He said, now, how can I see him? He spots a tree, a sycamore tree. Now, what would make a grown man climb a tree. When you got something in your heart, Delphia, that is telling you you want to see him so bad, you're not worried about how you're going to look because you know what you're going to get. Anybody in the house today? So he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see the Lord. He wanted to know that God was real. He wanted to recognize that something in his heart was pointing to a need. Today, some of you came and you put on your best clothes, but inside, you weren't able to hide that need. You wanted to come to church and mind your own business, but your problems followed you in here. And you've been trying to hold it together. But sometimes together just doesn't show up. May I tell you this, and may I suggest to you, find a tree. You might get a blessing from, matter of fact, touch your neighbor, tell you, we say we're going to touch, right? Just look at your neighbor and tell him, I got to find a tree. I got to find a. What is it that motivates us to move? And I've listened to motivational speakers like Les Brown and others who have tried to tell people, how do you get your life back on track when it's off track? A lot of people asking that. There are some of you today that came puzzled. You've tried everything that you could, and it just does not work. Here was this publican who had a lot of money, a lot of influence, and yet something has driven him to the place where he recognizes, I can't put up with this any longer. How many of y'all like that? And so what you have to do is to recognize, and what will motivate you is to become totally displeased. Totally displeased. As long as you just a little bit displeased with what you're doing, you're going to keep on doing it. Those of you that may have a drug habit or another addiction in your life, as long as you say to yourself, I'm all right, I'm all right, you're never going to get over it. You're never going to get through it. God wants you in a place where you are desperate and you're saying to yourself, I can't deal with this anymore. Some of y'all got problem relationships and what I call cuckaberry people around your life. For you city folk that don't know what a cuckaberry is, you go through the country, get one stuck on you. You'll see. And you're trying to get rid of folks and shake them off, but every time you shake them off, they come right on back. But when you get totally displeased, when you recognize that something is going on in your life, yes, I'm a publican and I'm trying to deal with this fact, but I don't want to be this way forever. Find a tree. Find a tree. Moses on the backside of the desert didn't know what else he could do in his life. His people are in bondage. He's getting old in years, 80 years old. And you know what happened? He couldn't find a tree, so God showed him one. The bush caught on fire. Because God said, listen, Moses, I got to recruit you. I've got to bring you into this fold so that you can be used to deliver my people. For the second time, tell somebody, find a tree. Second thing that has to happen in your life is that you've got to be temporarily displaced. Not just totally dissatisfied. A lot of folk disgusted, they just sit down and do nothing. Mad at everybody. But when you become temporarily displaced, now, Zacchaeus recognized that just finding a tree is not enough. I got to climb this joker. And Deacon Rod helped me out the other day when he said that the good thing about the sycamore tree, short people can climb them. The limbs are right there. You ain't got no excuse. Thank you, Deacon Rod. This guy, he grabbed that limb, got up the tree, and started looking. He found something. But what he found was his eyes catching the eyes of Jesus. What he was looking for, he wanted to see Jesus, but didn't really want Jesus to see him. But when he saw, how many of y'all ever try to look at somebody and then you find out they're looking at you? And you want to ask him, what you looking at? But then you got to answer, well, what you looking at? God is closer to you than what you think. He's nearer than your next heartbeat. He knows what you're thinking. He knows you're down sitting. He knows you're uprising. He knew that you got up this morning not feeling well. But now you feel better. Because you made eye contact. Somebody said, just to behold his face is all that we need from times in our life. Amen? So when you're totally displeased and when you're temporarily displaced, you've now put yourself in a position that you're not in your comfort zone. I don't know how long Zacchaeus was up that tree, but it was more than a few minutes because, number one, it takes folk that are old a little while to get up a tree. Y'all here? Okay. But leaving your comfort zone, you got to leave the place where you're comfortable with. You got to stop saying to yourself, well, nobody else is doing this. And guess what? The only person in a tree that day was Zacchaeus. And before he got to the place where he said, man, I look stupid, that's when Jesus saw him. Acting on faith will put you in a position where you plain don't feel comfortable. That's where faith comes in. Because if it was by your sight, if it was by your understanding, you would have never made that move. How many of y'all ever, in time in your life, God will press upon your life to give something or to do something, and you say to yourself, man, this doesn't feel right. But it's not about how you feel. It's about being led by the Spirit of the living God. And when you allow the Spirit of the living God, uncomfortable now becomes your next step. Anybody in the house today? Look at somebody a third time, tell them, find a tree. So when you look at this, when you see Zacchaeus committing himself, going up this tree, now staying there, not worried about what people are saying and how he's getting the look. You know, you know how it is when you don't look dignified. But if you knew what was going on in the inside, ain't nobody trying to look dignified. They're trying to get right with the Lord. Do I have any folks in here today? You're crying your eyes out and folks looking at you like, what you crying for? If you knew what was on the inside, if you knew how God was dealing with me, you would cry also. But I'm here to tell you that when you call, God will answer your prayer. All you got to do is to pray and seek God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. The third thing that you got to do is once you commit to that, you got to be truly dedicated. Don't be changing up. We sing the song a lot of times in the church, I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. And then the refrain says, no turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, I've decided to follow Jesus. How do you commit your life to such a thing as this? Well, let me tell you, sometimes life can be unfair. You know, this young woman was born in the state of Louisiana. Didn't have a whole lot going for her. As a matter of fact, early on in her life, she was in poverty. Madam C.J. Walker was in a state of poverty. She was actually an orphan at the age of 7 because her parents died. At the age of 14, she was married. At the age of 20, she was a widow with a child and a single parent. You said, man, that's rough. Living in a city where nobody knew her. But then Madam C.J. Walker figured out, here's what you do with this hair. She came up with her solution and a process that'll make your hair look good. She became a millionaire. I was so engrossed when I looked at her life, and she started off with $1.25. But she made an investment. I'm talking about moving up. In order to move up, you got to sacrifice. Remember the widow that came to the temple? She threw in everything she had. Madam C.J. Walker threw in everything she had. And I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all ladies out there with your hair looking nice, you need to go back and thank Madam C.J. Walker. Yes, Lord. At the end of her life, she found out that it was better to give than to receive. She wanted to return the blessings, and so she did. And for the rest of her life, she gave and gave and gave. And even in her passing, she left money in her estate so that she would continue the legacy of giving. Amen. What do you do when God has blessed you? What do you do when you're rich but up a tree? What do you do when life has got you to the point where nothing that you own is making you happy anymore? You make eye contact with the Savior that loves you. Before I close this message, I want to tell you that God has used the tree in many ways. And what Zacchaeus didn't realize, that tree on that particular day was not going to just be a tree that bore figs. It had another fruit. And that was him. But if you're going to find a tree, find one with a good support. There are a lot of people that they don't have a support in their lives. Find a tree. But make sure also that the tree is not dead. Because if it doesn't have any roots, it cannot support you but very long. I don't know about you, but a tree that don't have life, you can't climb the limb because the limb gonna break off. There are a lot of people telling you, join this movement and join that movement, but find a good tree that will support you. But then lastly, find one with some fruit. Because if you're not going to be able to connect with something that has fruit, your life will lose all of its glow, all of its reasons for living. That's why a lot of you all have given up. You're depressed, and you're making everybody else depressed. For the fourth time, tell somebody, find a tree. God uses trees in amazing ways. He used it to transform the life of Moses. From a simple encounter, Moses was sent back to Egypt, and he brought the people back in order for them to see what he saw, to worship the living God. Moses found the tree. Talk about depression. Elijah was a man that was depressed. He didn't know what to do. He had stood up for God. And he felt like he was all alone. But then he found a tree. And God found him beside that tree. You know, I grew up, and we didn't have a whole lot of places to hang out. Some of y'all used to hang out in the club. We ain't had no club in Scottsboro. We go down by the tree and partake of our libations. I'm just telling you where I come from, man. So I know what a tree is, amen? And we'd get around the tree and we'd talk trash, we'd have fellowship, but one day, I found another tree. I would be going back to that old oak tree where we used to drink our Ripple. I know they don't drink that no more, but that's what we had. But I found another tree. This tree is called Calvary, and it's a tree of good support because it always bears fruit. At the tree of Calvary, you can confess your sin, and God will be faithful to forgive you of your sin. I don't know about you, but I found me a tree, and I found me a tree with some fruit on it. His name was Jesus. He died to set us free. I thank God for the cross. I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't found a tree. Now, I didn't climb the tree, but I knelt down and I said, Lord, I need you. I want you to help me. And you know what God did? When I knelt at that tree, he picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I don't know about you, but I found the tree. Anybody find it? Anybody know him? Anybody got him in your life? Touch somebody and say, find the tree. Here's what happened. Here's what happened. When he saw Jesus and he beheld his face, the Lord was looking at him. And all the folk that had been criticizing him, all of a sudden they said, oh God, here's Jesus going down to be at the guest of a sinner. They're going to talk about you. When you find that tree in your life, if they can't find something on it, they'll make it up. Are y'all still here? Amen. People say, well, I don't know why folks lie on me, because they ain't got nothing else to do. They ain't found a tree yet. What had happened in this man's life? One need was that he needed salvation. And when everybody else was talking about him, Zacchaeus spoke up, said, look, Lord, if I've taken anything, I'm going to restore it fourfold. Now, the Old Testament tells me you ain't got to do all that. But you know, when you got something that you don't really need anymore because you found something better, it's kind of like what my wife does when she tells me, I'm getting ready to clean out my house. And I say, oh, Lord, here we go. Because she ain't going to leave the house empty. Don't she look good? I got in trouble now. I got in trouble. Y'all can help me out. Come on, y'all. But when Zacchaeus saw what he was gaining, he saw that he was receiving salvation, because all of the places that Jesus could have gone, he said, today, I've got to go to your house. I don't know when he told you, I'm going to your house. But I know you're glad about it, because your house needed some help. Your house needed some prayer. Your house needed some peace of mind. Now you're able to lay down at night and not worry about things, because Jesus is at your house. What I'm talking about is, when you find this tree, you'll find that the Savior will come home to you. But another thing, and I'm going to close with this. I promise you, Candace, I'm going to close with this. I'd say that a couple of times now. That's all. We're good. When you find the tree, you also find your identity. This man had gotten labeled based on what he did. Old publican. Old drunk. Old thief. Here's a good one. Old liar. And he wore that label. He wore that label. I believe it's Hawthorne that said the scarlet letter. You have to wear that label. And a lot of you are wearing labels today that don't identify you. But I wish you would look at somebody and tell them, that's not who I am. Jesus said, if nobody else in this crowd knows it, this is a son of Abraham. And because he was the righteous son of God saying this, oh, Zacchaeus said, wait a minute, I got a name. And my name means blessed. My name means prosperous. My name, y'all ever had people to call you fool for so long you believe you're fool? But when all of a sudden somebody calls you William, you square your shoulders back. But I'm going to tell you, not anybody can say that to you. It takes the voice of God speaking to your heart. And I'm praying that right now as I preach this message, you would stop believing in the lesser you and start believing in the new you, because you found that tree, and that tree is in Christ. The hymn writer says it best. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my sin rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. I don't have a whole lot of things, but I got one thing that you can't take away from me. I got Jesus, and that's enough. Anybody got him today? Anybody got him today? Stand on your feet. Give God some praise, because you found the tree. You found the tree. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. I want y'all to put your hands together. You don't know what we're going to say. You need to put your hand together.